You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Football is back on the plains, baby. Let's talk about it on this live edition of the Uptempo Podcast.
You are now listening to the War Report Podcast Network.
Yes, sir. What is up, Auburn family? What is up, Uptempo gang? Dustin Smith here with my guy, Blake Lane. As you can see, he's got his eyes trained on that baseball game. Auburn currently on pace, a 10-run rule to Sanford Bulldogs, 8-0, bottom of the third. But Blake, football is back in Auburn, baby. The second spring period of the Hugh Freeze era kicked off today. Before we got on here, I saw some clips of Cam Coleman. It's official. We talked about it for, seems like, 2 or 3 years. He put on the uniform today. He's out there. He is an Auburn Tiger. Got some early reports that our guy, Bryce Kane, had a nice day. Man, Blake, that. I don't know. Is there a podcast that talked about Bryce Kane for about 6 or 7 months and said you should be on the lookout for that? I wonder who those guys would be. But how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. We went and watched him a couple times as well, and dude's a star, man. He's a star. Did you see the picture of Cam Coleman and it was like point out the Auburn 5-star wide receiver and he's just towering over everybody else? That was great. That was great. I love the blue pants, by the way. I know they wore them last year. Those are sick. I know they'll probably never get worn in a game, but those are sick. I am excited about football being back. It felt different, you know. It felt different this year that it just bounced back so quickly. There's a lot of hype, especially with this recruiting class that we just brought in. And it's do or die, right? It's do or die. Year two, we got to improve. We got to get going. And I think Hugh Freeze, he knows the expectations that sit around the Auburn program. And I feel like just watching some of the guys on the videos that were shown today, they had a little pep in the step. They were like, hey, we're ready to go. You know, like, this is it. It's no more talking about it. We're ready to go right now. So I'm excited about it, Dustin. I keep glancing over here at this Auburn baseball game. Christian Hall just hit an absolute nuke, okay? Yeah, he hit that ball to Opelika. So it might still be traveling.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get over here and see some of you guys' comments before we talk about day one of the spring practice. Our guy Chris popping in. He is watching the baseball game as well. Good evening to you, Chris. Our guy Blake Patterson with the War Damn Ego. Or damn Eagle, excuse me. I see Jamie saying, when were you getting started? We were a couple minutes late. And Jamie said, I'm ready, boys. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk some ball. We love the passion. We're glad that you were here. Jamie says, let's effing go. Yeah, yeah, we here, baby, we here. Miller says, War Dan from Huntsville, Alabama. What's up, baby? Huntsville in the house. Let's see, we got, what's this? What, y'all got to help me out now. I'm getting up there. I'm in my 30s now. Is this what's going on? What is this? What's WSG? They hollering at you, Blake.
Excuse me, I had my mic muted. Santiago, I believe he is the Texas A&M fan. When I used to get on here and talk about baseball, he would hop in and talk Texas A&M. So okay. I believe I got that right. Haven't talked to him in a while.
Okay, well, hey, man, we welcome all. We welcome all. Yeah. What's up, Santiago? James Barnett, our dude, what's up, brother? We're glad that you're here with us tonight. Ready to talk some football. Blake, you talk about these guys looking having that pep in their step. You know, I was kind of thinking about this today, thinking about the success that the baseball team is having, thinking about the success that the basketball team is having. And I watched some of the, you know, I watched the women's basketball team a lot, and there always seems to be a nice little group of Auburn football players is there, you know, there as well. And I kind of got to thinking, man, if I was a kid on the football team and I was going around that campus, right, and athletes hang out, they talk and that kind of thing. And even if you didn't hang out with somebody from the other sport, you're just walking around campus and you see, man, you see people camping out 3 days before basketball games, and you see College game day showing up for basketball, and you see all the energy around baseball, and they're good, right? Like they've earned it. You see the women's basketball team that literally is rising from the ashes, a program that couldn't have been more dead than what it was before Coach Harris showed up. And these guys, again, they're going to the games. So they see all this, right? They see the jungle. They see the passion. They see these women's crowds going over 7,000-8,000, record-setting attendance for the women this year. Record-setting attendance the first week out the gate for baseball. I say all that to say, man, if you're one of those guys, and you got to be thinking, damn, we're the highest paid on the campus. We got the best resources. We're the ones with a $100 million facility. Boy, Bruce's basketball facility been on the back burner for 4 years now. Maybe it might be three, but it's in that area too damn long, if you ask me. So I say all that to say, boy, if I was a football player kicking off spring practice today, I feel like it's time to live up to my end of the bargain, Blake. Crazy?
Nah, you're not crazy. It is time. Eugene Asante, I think he's leading that message. Mm-hmm. I think he is saying, hey, it's time to work, baby. Work, baby, work, 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 like the hard work, all right? I think you need to have a leader step up on offense, whether it's Peyton Thorne or whoever, you know. Have somebody step up. Somebody, anybody. It can be an offensive lineman. I don't care, all right? Yeah. It can be Connor Lue. I don't care. Just step up. Have somebody in that huddle that wants to lead this football team. It could be Cam Coleman. I don't care. Whoever, right. Walker White, he was vibing today at practice, by the way. I mean, did you see the dance moves? Buddy was rocking. He was juking. I mean, he was getting after it. You know, there's confidence there. So something's going on this football team, and I'm excited about it. Keontae Scott, another one. Be a leader. All right. Flirted with the portal, whatever the rumor was. Come back, be a leader. It's time to be a dog. Kay and Lee, you're young, but you're a returner in that secondary that is also young. It's time to be a leader. It's time to step up and be a guy. Who wants to step up on that defensive front? Who wants to step up on that D-line? We're going to find out. But yeah. From now to April, we're about to find out who wants to step up. Because we talked about, I think last week, when you go to that second portal window, it's very rare that you get a bunch of starters out of that window. Mm-hmm. So if you do get a couple guys, all right, we need some of these guys, like a Trill Carter to step up and a Gage mm-hmm. Keys to step up. All right, we don't want to have to rely on the transfer portal window, and we're still looking for a leader on that defensive front, because we were blessed with Marcus to have him for 2 years. So. Yeah. I need to see somebody step up and get this locker room under control. And, guys, I'm sorry if I'm chewing on gum. My throat is still sore from Jacksonville this weekend, and it's still scratchy. So, bear with me. I'm giving it my best, all right?
Yeah, hey, Blake playing hurt. listen, so that's kind of the main thing that I want to talk about on the offensive side of the ball. You make a good point about leader. I think that you know, you've talked a lot about Rivaldo's comments after the bowl game in Nashville. Is he the guy to kind of step up and say, okay, listen, the nonsense ends here? Our guy Mike G tweeted out yesterday that there's a group of Auburn players that are meeting often and are really working hard to try to change this narrative. And, you know, so we know that Derek Nix is coming in as the OC. He's really it's a title hold, basically. It's going to be Hugh Freeze that's calling the plays. He's already said, listen, I'm going to be a lot more involved in the game plan this year. That's why you see a Charles Kelly come in. We're going to talk about him when we go over to the defense, playing a big hand already and getting a big four-star commitment. So he kind of says, I got Charles Kelly coming in. These recruiting duties can kind of – I could put some of these on him. Same thing. Derek Nix is more of a recruiter than the previous OC and Philip Montgomery. I can put some of that stuff off on him. DJ Durkin, more of a recruiter than his, you know, his, what was it, Ron Roberts. So Ron Roberts wasn't really a guy that did a whole lot of recruiting, right? So you kind of brought in guys, you've bolstered up your staff as far as recruiting goes. It was already a solid recruiting staff. It seems like the couple of guys that weren't really big into recruiting, they're out. And not necessarily for that reason, but they're out. And then guys that can recruit better than them have been brought in. So I think that from a recruiting standpoint, the staff has been raised up as a whole. And all that is with a purpose, because Hugh knows, he says, I tried it, man. I tried. I stepped back and gave it to a seasoned guy. Gave it to a guy in Philip Montgomery who had a whole lot of success. He has a whole lot on his resume. You can go down the line and look at Philip Montgomery's career and say, okay, this is a guy that we should be able to trust with Hugh overseeing it and that kind of thing. Just didn't work, man. And it became evident in early press conferences, I would argue. Like, scratch the results on the field, because those definitely showed themselves by week two. But just press conferences before the season, when Hugh was like, boy, I'm struggling with this, it never seemed to get right. And you just kind of were like, okay, this is going to be a problem. We talked about it at the time, and it became a problem. The good thing about this is, Blake, is I don't think, you know, and as we get more into the press conferences, into the spring practice and all that, I would like to hear Hugh's thoughts on this. I can't imagine, though, the defensive side is a different story. But on offense, I think that, like, verbiage might change up a little bit, because Hugh kind of talked about in the season last year how – just switching to his offense, was going to be more difficult in the season because of the terminology. He said, we're too late in the game for me to switch up the words being used. But I don't know, Blake, if it's not like it's a whole overhaul, right? It's not like we were running air raid last. We're not doing what Mississippi State did last year. So I do think that this is not going to be that difficult. And if Peyton Thorne is going to take the job and grab it, then it shouldn't be that difficult for a three-year starter to learn a new offense, because they've already ran a lot of this stuff. You go back to the Mississippi State game, that's what the offense is going to look like, and the team has ran it. So what I'm saying is, I don't think it's going to be that hard on the offensive side of the ball to get the quote-unquote new system established, because a lot of it, you've already kind of ran it. And Hugh originally set it up like this was going to be. I think they practiced it a lot. From what we were told last year, they practiced Hugh's playing a lot. And then halfway through the week, things got scratched because people couldn't agree on what was going to work. And then you ultimately saw this big mess, quarterback switching out and everything out on Saturday. I just think that Hugh is going to come in. I think he did it today. Came in and said, listen, boys, this is what we're doing. It's RPO. What I do, I don't want to hear nothing else. Sure, you might have a suggestion. If I don't like it, tough crap. We're going to do what I want to do. But, Blake, I don't think it's going to be that hard for the players and to really pick up this offense, because it's not really changing that much, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's where we got away from it last year, is there was big stretches where we just weren't running RPO stuff, like nothing. I mean, you can go back to the first possession of the Texas A&M game, and you're sitting here going, what was that? What was that? That's not Hugh Freeze. So what is that? And we're sitting here watching it saying, hey, are you going to continue to let this happen? Or what's the deal here?
Right.
And then you talk about the pressers. So I think now we're not gonna go stretches without seeing RPO. I think he is on it. I think Peyton Thorne and the quarterback room, whoever it may be, I think they are with the game plan. I think the receivers and the running backs, everybody, O-line, all on the same page this year. It's, you said it best. The rotation of the quarterbacks, all that is out the window. Like, I don't know. I've said my piece on that, brother. Like, incredible what they were doing with that. I mean, that night in Baton Rouge was just a pure disaster. I mean, I just can't get over it. It was horrible.
Ole Miss wasn't much better from an offensive standpoint.
That's true, and that's a game that you actually had a chance to win. That's what was funny about that is, like, we were giving opportunities. Like, we were just handed opportunities on a silver platter, and we're over here rotating quarterbacks.
Yeah. Like, one of the more frustrating nights I've had in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and I've had a lot of frustrating ones these last couple of years.
Man, come on now. I mean, that one was a head-scratcher. And I think that's where a lot of people really started questioning things. Like, they were sitting here saying, hey, you know, what's going on? Because you had a chance to beat that team that went 10-2 in the SEC. Like, you legitimately were within one score of beating them, and you're over here rotating quarterbacks on first down. Like, you pick up a first down, and then bang, rotation. All right, and then bang, penalty, false start. Because you're hearing a different cadence. I don't think there's going to be any of that this year. And I think it's going to be heavy RPO. And whoever the best man is, wins the quarterback job. And you're going to get a lot of Cam Coleman. And he's a freak of nature. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to get a lot of running the football. I think Jarquez Hunter coming back is big time. Somehow they pulled Brian Battee out of the portal and got him to come back. You got Jeremiah Cobb. I want to see Jeremiah Cobb in the screen game a whole hell of a lot more. Whole hell of a lot more. Was not used enough this past fall. I think he is an absolute weapon. And even if you want to split him outside, he can catch the football. He's a weapon. Use him. That was one of my biggest things last year, is we weren't using our best players, it felt like. I mean, kid comes in and he has a day, and then – it's like you go a week without seeing him, and everybody's in our comments saying, hey, where's Jeremiah Cobb at? I don't know. I guess he just wasn't in the game plan this week. That's why it was all head scratching last year. And what's crazy, Dustin, is we all sat here, everybody in this chat, me and you, we all sat here and said, hey, something's going on where there's like a disconnect. Somebody's not getting along. Somebody's not agreeing. Whatever. Like, we even talked about the OC might like this quarterback and the head coach might like this quarterback. That was even a topic at one point. Like, it was just clear disconnect. So, I think everybody's on the same page this year, and that's what it takes to win football games.
Yeah, and that's another reason why you go and get a Derek Nix, is because Hugh knows Derek Nix. The roles were well established. Derek Nix isn't taking this job. Despite what Ole Miss wants to tweet out, despite what Lane Kiffin wants to troll and say, Derek Nix knows, okay, that he's not calling the plays. And I know there was some contract stuff, and Auburn kind of had to dance around and play and all that. I don't have to, okay? I don't work for the school. I'm telling you, Hugh Freeze is going to be calling the plays. They came out and said a week before they hired him, this is what I'm going to do. Hugh Freeze said it out of his mouth, and then – so let Lane Kiffin do what he's going to do. Hugh Freeze is going to call the plays, bro. And we've said it a million times, but Blake, I think it's going to be a game changer for this offense, on top of having a guy out there in number 8 that you can literally just throw the damn ball up to, and he's going to go get it.
I think he's got to call plays, right? He's got to, because this fan base, the pressure's there. Like, we were calling for it last year. So now if you don't call plays again this year, the fan base is on you, brother. So I think he's got to.
Yeah, Blake preached patience more than anybody, I think, or more than most around Auburn last year. And not that I wasn't preaching patience, but just Blake was 5 minutes after a tough loss. Patience, guys, patience.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't know how much. A couple tough losses this year, Blake, and I'll call you back and say, I don't know how much longer you're gonna be on that patience.
I know how Auburn fans are, brother. I know how they are. You were just on the basketball team, all right? Us Auburn fans, we were just on the basketball team. You lost at Alabama by 4, and you're sitting here saying, "Man, that basketball team, Bruce Pearl's losing it. He's losing it." And then all of a sudden, you beat South Carolina by 40, and you know everything's back cool again. And then you lose to Kentucky, and it's that basketball team. They ain't worth a piss. You know that basketball team. Their first round exit. And I'm like, "Hey, what's going on here?" You know. But you do have to stay patient. But that first year, the disconnect was just crazy. Like, we really haven't seen anything like that. But besides maybe like Zach Arnett, but he was just thrown into the fire at Mississippi State.
Right, right, right.
So that wasn't really fair to him because he didn't even want that job. So, yeah. You know, Hugh just, I don't know, man, it was weird. So, like, you got to bring it year two. And I think everybody agrees with that.
Yeah, for sure. So looking at the offensive side, real quick, I want to speak on Jeremiah Cobb. You know that I'm with you 100%. This is no knock on Damari Austin or Batee, because I'm with you. It was not that I want Batee off the team. I want him to go get his carries. Because, like, I just think he has a lot of carries and a lot of film he can put up somewhere else. And I don't even want to say a smaller school. I think he can go to another SEC, another Power 5 team, and contribute right away. I would have to kind of look at the running back rooms a little bit and really take a look at it. But I'm sure there's rooms where Brian Batee can go get significant reps and contribute. Like, the kid has shown he can play in the SEC. He can run in between the tackles at that size. So he's a weapon. He's a tool. And I'm shocked that we were able to get him back. I love depth and love it at the running back spot. That's what we do. You know, Trey Smith, Ronnie Brown, Cadillac, Brendan Jacobs, that was a pretty deep running back room. Didn't, you know, not saying this one is that one. It's clearly not. Even though I saw some crazy stuff flying around before the year last year. But listen, Damari Austin, dog, that guy. Okay, so don't take what I'm saying here. I just gave these two guys their flowers. Cobb's better than both of them, Blake. Cobb's better than them. He just is. As all-around football, they think they do better than Cobb. But third down? Of the running backs on Auburn's roster right now, third and six, Blake, who do you want out there?
You know. You already know. I want Jeremiah Cobb. You know there was people last year saying that he's the only running back that knows how to pass, bro.
And that's a fact. And he's not scared of it.
Yeah.
He'll get his pass in there and do it. But just like technical and all that, Cobb's that dude. And you can go back and look at scouting reports on Cobb, bro. He was 15 years old, and people were saying, oh, pass pro out of this world.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a skill set.
You know, I talked to one of his coaches at that camp last year, and I asked him, I was like, what's one weakness? And he was like, I don't know. He was like, I don't know. And he was like, I'm telling you. He's like, he's going to get on the field as a freshman. And I told y'all that before the season. I was like, hey, like, he's getting on the field as a freshman, and he's that good. I think he's a star, and I don't want to see him slip into that transfer portal. That's my thing.
That's a good point. And, you know, that'll be, cause obviously when Cadillac recruited these guys and all that, so that's something to watch. But, you know, Derek Nix working their running back room as well. And I think Alvin Henderson's a good person to look at there. Alvin Henderson, the, 2025 running back, not committed to Auburn right now, but we've been the leader in his recruitment for a long time. He loved Cadillac. We were kind of worried that when Cadillac left, okay, we're going to lose out on Alvin Henderson now. Derek Nix meets with him. He says, no, I love Derek Nix. This was all great. Auburn's still in the lead, still in the running here. So, just something to watch. But, yeah, Cobb's got to get his touches. We got to keep all these guys happy. And I think he's going to earn them. I just think he's going to earn them in the sense that, like, obviously, slot receiver is where we're best at receiver. Like Jay Fair, the Robert Lewis, the kid coming in from Georgia State. Like that's where we have the most proven guys at slot. And I'm here to tell you, Bryce Kane's gonna take reps from all of them. He just is. He just is. He's just that good. And that's what it's gonna be, especially on this offensive side of the ball. And you know, when you talk about a guy like Jeremiah Cobb. The people that go and watch these guys and really break this stuff down, like you said, your coach told you, there's not a weakness. Go back and listen to people talk about Connor Lue, who really know offensive line and all that. They were telling you when Connor Lue was a junior in high school, this kid's going to come in and start somewhere as a freshman, somewhere on the line. Auburn coaches told us in camp last year, hey, Connor Lue, boy, I'm telling you, he's going to play. He's going to play quick. Kay and Lee, first day of spring practice last year, working with the ones. I said, what? In our DB field, our defensive backfield last year, that's I'm not knocking the guys that are currently on the team, but when you bring in blue chip talent, when you bring in elite, top tier talent, that's what it is. When I saw, I believe it was Auburn Daily, they put out some clips of Cam Coleman at practice today, and I quote tweeted and I said, and that's the best damn receiver that's ever set foot on that practice field. And that's just the reality of it. So when we look at this offense as a whole, I think it's two things, Blake. One, quarterback, obviously. Now, William Blake hit this over the head, was it last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. So if you want to hear a whole lot in depth about quarterback, we'll probably sure we'll talk about it in a couple weeks. They're going to have scrimmages, right? There's going to be practices. There's going to be storylines. We're going to have to talk about it. Spoiler alert, me and Blake, hey, talking about quarterback all the damn time. But it is what it is. So we'll see how these practices go and all that kind of stuff. But obviously that's the main thing on offense, who steps up, who kind of takes control of that quarterback job. But then number two is just Hugh's totally in charge now. And I want to get your thoughts on this play before we move on to the defense. But with Hugh in charge, I wonder, too, how much, like, does that affect the personnel? So, like, how much last year was Phillip Montgomery how much was the receiver packages? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, what all personnel was impacted by the rift of the coaching staff between Montgomery and Hugh? And it wasn't a personal rift. It was a professional rift. I want to make that clear. But how much of all the personnel was impacted? It's all Hugh now. Whatever he says goes. Whatever, whoever he wants in this package, that package, whatever he wants. Was the call to throw a deep ball to Malcolm Johnson Jr. on the outside, was that a Phillip Montgomery thing? Was it a Hugh Freeze thing? Does it matter who the hell called it if now you have a 6'4" Cam Coleman versus a 5'10" Malcolm Johnson? Does it even matter who's calling plays at all when you have that much of a talent difference going up to catch that ball this year? All these things I'm really excited to find out, and we will start to get some answers in spring.
Bobby Barrels is on fire, by the way. I'm not trying to bring baseball into it, I mean, but Bobby Pierce is killing the baseball right now. But does. Look, Dustin, we didn't even know who the hell was on the field last year. All right,
that's a fact.
Like our head coach was at, he was on the field. I thought it was this guy. All right.
Ooh, yeah.
So that once again, there was that disconnect there. And I think it's going to be a lot different this year. Like, that was disturbing to me. When I heard that, like, we didn't even know who was on the field. Oh, that guy was out? That guy got hurt? He wasn't out on the field? Like, Chris, nobody knew. There was just something off last year. There was something off, and I think everybody agreed, and they saw the same thing, and, you know, I think Hugh, that's why you saw all the changes, is because Hugh said, hey, I love these guys. They're great. They're great coaches. But I got to get the people that I'm familiar with so we can run our system. I've been around these guys, so I want to work with these guys. Then let's start building a program, all right? So you don't have all the disconnect of this guy has worked for me for 2 years and this guy's a newcomer and this guy, you know, and then you've got this guy and this guy fighting on the practice field and this guy's threatening to leave and these players are threatening to leave if this guy leaves and all this. So there was just – it was a bomb last year. It was a bomb. So you take it and you take that piece of paper and you crumble it up and you Kobe that thing in the trash can, all right? You Kobe it. You take that New Mexico State loss, crumble it up, and you Kobe that thing.
Please, all right? God, Kobe it out of my memory for me, Blake.
Get it out. Look, that was a painful day. It was a painful day. I don't like revisiting, but we're going to get past it. I promise you, we're going to get past it. We're going to make it just like Michigan made it after they lost to Appalachian State. Just like, you know, every other program's made it. I mean, hell, LSU lost at night to Troy and Baton Rouge. So, you know, it's going to get better, I promise. But it starts with that. You got to bring in guys you're familiar with. And I think you did that. So that was a step in the right direction. But I do not want to hear after Oklahoma, if we lose, well, we scrapped the game plan in the middle of the week, you know. I don't want to hear none of that. All those excuses are out the window, all right? They're out the window.
Yeah, let's go to here and holler at the people before we get over and talk about a big-time commitment and then transition into the defensive side. Ray Snow checking in from the 850 War Damn Eagle guys from Crestview, Florida. Y'all growing out there in Crestview, Ray. Y'all growing out there. I see you, buddy. Appreciate you. 850 boys, stand up. Tim the Toolman Taylor getting in here and saying, we are getting after it, baby. You know that's what we do, Tim. Brody says, what do y'all think about J.C. Hart? I honestly think dude is going to be a star. Yeah, so here in a couple, I'd say somewhere around a week, we're going to have on, you know, some people that have been at practices and are viewing it and all that kind of stuff. And we'll definitely, as the updates roll in, we'll kind of talk about that. But just my preliminary thoughts on JC is obviously super athletic kid, one of the fastest kids on the team. You know, kind of heard stuff about him trying receiver last year, trying DB. So he's a superior athlete, a kid that has the kind of a surprising frame. I stood next to him and I was like, taller than I thought you were going to be. I'm excited to see watch a local kid that grew up an Auburn fan. I remember when he committed, he talked about like, yo, this is my dream for real. So we always want to see those kids succeed at Auburn. Immensely talented, comes from a very, very small high school situation. Probably took him a little bit to get adjusted to the SEC and all that. Let's see what position he plays. You know, we saw our guy, a good example of a player like this, Brody, not as highly touted as Trevon Reed was, but it took Trevon Reed 3 years to find his position. And then ultimately he goes to the NFL. You realize, okay, that he should have been playing DB all along. Hopefully it doesn't take that long for JC. Let's see what the, let's give it a couple of days here, a couple of weeks, and let's kind of see what, you know, what it is. And it might, I will say this, though, whatever he DB, wide receiver, wherever JC ends up kind of sticking at, and they might have already made that decision. Just the last, it's not a player that I've asked about recently, right? So we'll get back to you on this one. But I would say I think he's probably going to stick over there on the defensive backside. But a kid that has a ton of talent and a big frame, very athletic, super fast. I'm excited to see him, but I don't think what I was going to say, Brody, was I'm not sure if this year is the year, because let's say it's defensive back. You've already got a whole lot of studs there. Even though they're young, there's a lot of studs there that are kind of ready to go. And then at receiver, maybe, you know, but again, you got some young guys there like Bryce Kane, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Cam. These guys are really, really dogs. So I'm just not sure if JC can get on this year. I would say watch him in special teams. A guy with his skill set definitely can be on kickoff coverage, punt coverage, that kind of thing. So I do think that you'll see him get out there in the field on that. You got any thoughts on JC Blake?
I agree with you. Going to be tough for him to get on this year. I think special teams, like you said, maybe if an injury happens, like they always do, you could see him. But it's a talented room. It's a talented room. It's young, but it's talented.
Yeah. And I think that, look, maybe a month or two after Perry shows up, so there might going to be some shuffling in the wide receiver room either way. And then Blake Patterson, I see your comment asking about Bruce Pearl in basketball. I got you starred. Don't let me forget it. I'll get to that one in the end. I want to kind of keep it football, but I will get to you on the end of that, because this I got a point to make on your comment there. And then Blake says that I'm pulling for J.C. Hart. The kid could be special. Absolutely. Brad getting in here saying up-tempo, War Damn Eagle. Brody says, could have killed Texas A&M with them RPOs. Literally blitzed the majority of the game. Listen, y'all, we have played Ole Miss or A&M here the last three times. And in 12 quarters, Robbie Ashford threw a touchdown pass. That's how many times we scored versus A&M in the last 12 quarters. Or reach the end zone. We've scored some field goals, but we crossed the pylon one time with possession of that football. Bad, bad, bad stuff. Now, luckily, we brought that DC that we couldn't score on over here. So now he's on our squad. Let's see what that means. But yeah, it was there. And Brody, to your point, bud, that press conference, and then I believe it was that press conference in the midweek, that Tuesday presser as well. Hugh was pretty vocal, Blake. You talked about a couple of times where he said, "Hey, we didn't run my RPOs, and I want to run my RPOs." Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure the A&M game was when that started, when he started saying, "You're not running my stuff."
Yep. Just go back and turn the tape on and watch the very first play of the A&M game, and you'll see what we're talking about.
The first one sucked, and the third down one was the one where I was like, "Oh shit, here we go."
Yeah, rough at bat. Hey, and then we drive down the field and get to A&M's 40, and decide we want to get fancy. All right, ugh. Like I just didn't get any of that. Any of that. Man, we were running the ball right down A&M's throat and just
happened running the ball. Time. Yeah, happened a couple of times this year, Blake. Just went away from the run. Just
abandon it. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Even think back to Jarquez's hot streak where he was having – remember he had three games there where he had over 100 yards? Not one time did he carry the ball over 20 times. Boy, you're getting 25 touches if I'm calling them plays, man. This is Auburn University. We don't give a damn, bro. We beat Tennessee with Nick Marshall completing two passes. I don't care. Now,
you remember the days of Kenny getting off the bus saying, "I'm going for 200, you know? Like,
yeah.
Bro, feed him. He is a horse. He is a unit. Like, give him the football, bro. Like, and guess what? You got so many of them back there. When he gets tired, all right, you sub him out and you put the next one in there and you keep handing him that thing, bro.
Yeah. And if there is no, and look, we're not, I'm not, I know what I just said about Nate Marshall completing two passes. I know that you got to move forward here in the 21st century. You guys listen to us, you know, all the time we joke about that. We want to see Auburn start completing freaking passes. Okay. You got to 2,000-3,000 yard passers ain't it in the history of your program. And our guy Mike G actually dropped an AU mix pod this week where he really kind of broke down just how teams ain't winning, period. You ain't winning titles if you ain't passing for 3,000 yards. But what I'm saying is, there ain't, if you're running the ball down somebody's throat, there ain't a real Auburn fan in this world that's going to go, "You're running it too much." Boy, pound that rock, baby. It's running back you, son.
What's Alabama do?
Whatever works.
Hey, they run that thing. They'll tote that thing right down your throat. All right? What did Michigan do this year? Michigan ran the football.
they went up to Penn State and said, "Watch this."
Pounded that thing. Said, "Hey, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, running it right down your throat." All right. JJ McCarthy, play action, tight end, that was it. But they didn't have no complex offense and go five wide and all the, you know, they didn't do none of that.
Right.
Bro, yeah. Two tight ends, all right? Straight up, just eye formation, all right? We're about to pound it. We're about to hand this thing off. And we're going to run it right down your throat. We're coming A-gap. And we're going to run it right down your throat. And then win a national championship.
Yeah, that mindset will definitely do it. You know, I keep quoting things that Mike G done tonight, but he talked to Jason Campbell. And JC talked about in the middle of the season, they were running goal line drills. Middle of the season, full pad goal line drills in 04. 7-0, 8-0, don't matter. Because to them, they didn't care. They wanted to have the bragging rights all week in practice. They wanted to have the bragging rights in the dorms around campus. Like, y'all didn't get us today. It's a mindset, bro. And that's why me and Blake are really going to pound culture this year. As Miller says, we're developing culture for sure. And I know I've made this point already on this podcast, but opening day spring practice, it's crucial to make it again. You see a baseball team that's on fire right now. Blake was with the baseball team this week, and he hung out with them. He'll tell you, it's a close-knit group, okay? Listen to Bruce Pearl. He's been talking these last couple weeks. This basketball team, close-knit group. That is not an accident that these teams are winning games. You cannot win. Like, I'm telling you, man, you might be able to win with some stuff going on, but there has to be a mutual respect when you clock in. You can't let the stuff going on invade the field. You can't let it invade the locker room. Make that culture toxic. Once that culture is toxic, man, because in this league, in the SEC, Auburn's already fighting an uphill battle. I'm not breaking the news here, guys. We're never going to have the resources of Alabama. We're never going to have the resources of an LSU. We're never going to have the resources of a Texas A&M. We're never going to have the resources of a Georgia. We're fighting an uphill battle. Tennessee, they're the only program in that state. They don't have anything to compete with. Vanderbilt, come on now. Look at the league. We're fighting a battle here. So we already are behind those teams in resources, not by a whole lot. We're not Ole Miss compared to them, but we're not them is what I'm saying. We're already fighting that battle. On top of when recruits visit Auburn now, they leave the football games and go, that was hype for a basketball school. That's how long we've sucked at football. Everyone was on CJ Stroud for what he said. And I don't want to go too far down that road because there is points to be made and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to, I'm an Auburn guy, right? I'm not going up against Auburn. But the point I'm making is CJ Stroud don't remember when Auburn was good at football. It's been that long. It's been that long. So I didn't like what he said either, but that's the reality. That's the reality. So developing this culture, Miller, it starts right now, man. And when we talk about these young guys that want to be at Auburn, here's what I hope happens, Blake. I hope what Rivaldo said just plays itself out. I hope that the players in the locker room weed out the quitters. I hope that the culture becomes one where they say, hey, dog, you were 10 minutes late today. We'll see you tomorrow. And if you're late again, we don't want you on the team. Yep. Because speaking of that 04 team, that 2010 team, what'd they have? Leaders. You can leaders. Point to the leaders. You know exactly that Josh Bynes was a leader. That Cam Newton was a leader. What did Cam Newton do the week of the Georgia with everything swirling around Auburn's program? Cam Newton took the entire program and said, I will lead you this week. Get on my back. Yep. Allegations, all that. ESPN focused in on us, trying to bring us down, all that. Get on my back. Auburn fans, players, coaches, get on my back and go. Leadership. My hope, Miller, is that these young cats come in and develop this culture and weed out the BS, dog. Because I'm here to tell y'all, there's still some quitters on this team.
You remember the all-access video of Cam in the locker room at halftime against Clemson?
Ooh, gives me goosebumps.
And he was like, hey, all that next drive-ish, he was like, it's out the window. All right, it's out. It's gone. Ain't no more next drive. We'll get them next drive. It's this drive. We got to score, dog. We're down 17 to nothing. We got to go right now. We ain't got but 30 minutes left. We got to go now. I'm going to tell y'all something about chemistry and a brotherhood in a locker room. All right. I was listening to an NBA podcast. I know it's off of college football, but this is still a locker room. This is a professional locker room. My man Jeff Teague, out the league now, was saying, hey, this is how much it means to be a close-knit family in the locker room. Paul George, all right, and Kawhi Leonard. In the regular season, they took like 17, 18 shots a game. They weren't a close team. So when they got in the playoffs, Paul George and Kawhi started taking 23, 24, 25 shots a game. What do you think the team who wasn't close, the bench guy said? Hey, dog, you're taking our shots. Like, why are you taking 7, 8 more shots than you were in the regular season? Mm. And he said he had to go up to a couple of them and say, hey, these cats, they're the ones making $40 million a year, dog. Like, they're the superstars. They're Team USA. Like these are the guys. These are the ones. But they didn't understand that because they wasn't close. They didn't get along. He said, after they left the facility, there was no hanging out. There was no going to this place with your homie or anything like that. It was nothing. It was go to your home, don't talk until tomorrow, until you come back for practice. And then after practice, it was the same thing all over again. So when they got in the playoffs, they were like, ah, shit, screw it. Like,
right.
These two were just wanting to shine by themselves, so let them do it. Yeah. And he said they got their ass whooped, point blank period. Like, they got whooped. He was like, we had one of the best teams in the league, and we got eliminated. And he was like, that's what happens when you're not close.
So yeah, it shows, man. You got, again, you got evidence staring you in the face at Auburn, and that's some interesting insight. Karen says, I hate hearing about QB all the time. Let's at least get through spring and summer. So, yeah, Karen. Now, look, I say what me and Blake hate it. It's just that it's the conversation driver, right? You want to get an episode to do numbers? Put a quarterback on that thing, baby. But there's a reason for that, right? It is the most important position on the field and all that kind of stuff. You take Cam Newton off of 2010, you probably go 8-4. We understand all that. The frustration, Karen, comes in with, I think that it's because every spring we're talking about not knowing who the guy is. We probably wouldn't mind if we had a season every now and then where we were coming in feeling like, okay, this guy's got it on lock. The last time I felt comfortable with the QB situation was, I guess, Stidham's second year in what would be 2018. So that's 5 years of QB battles and uncertainty. So that'll get you there, Karen. I hear you, baby. I'm with you. I mean, I want a guy, Walker White, dog. I want you to be the one. Not this year. I know we tell you all the time, man, true freshman. But I'm hoping down the line I want it to be my guy, Walker White.
Whoever it is this year. I just
Hank Brown, yeah.
Yeah, come out and be real with me. You know, just come out and say, hey, this guy was the dog, and then we can go from there. But I'm not going to sit here every single day and be like, well, here's the deal at quarterback. You know?
Yeah. Vegas odds changed by 20 points. We ain't going to play that game, man. But we'll definitely got to keep an eye on it, because I really do believe Hugh after he said it's wide open. Because I, like Blake said, man, you can't go down that road again. All right, so we've talked enough offense. We're going to get over here and talk about the defense. Before we do, Blake, real quick, man, I want to shout out to our sponsors over at the Barner Supply Company, man. Go over there. They have been shipping out merch left and right, man. They're popping off. They're one of the hottest Auburn companies there is right now. The link is in the description. If you want to help us out, specifically use that link in the description. Click on that. Go over there. I'm telling you, I just think that this hat over here on the far right is absolutely filthy. I got mine on the way. And I had my shirt come in the other day. Got the Barner on the front, the nice baseball cursive lettering. See that Barner on the back? I wore this baby the other day in Winn-Dixie. I set a gump off. I'm telling you, it set a gump off. It set him off. He didn't know what to do. He said, you stupid Barner. I turned around and said, yeah. Yeah, you're damn right. You're damn right. So own that thing, man. Click on that link. Go check that out. Also, about to talk about this commitment. If you're one of our members, you got a full breakdown on the way. Blake, talk to the members real quick. Let the people that aren't signed up know what they could be getting. What are they missing out on, man?
They are missing out on the JV squad for $3.99 a month, Dustin. Members only live chat, member shout outs, priority reply to comments. If you are a member, we will bring yours up immediately as soon as we get to that talking point. So early access to videos. Guess what, members? You're getting a video tonight from Dustin. As soon as we get done here, I'm dropping it. It'll be hot in your feed, so go check it out. $5.99 a month, varsity squad, game day group chat. That thing is popping. All right, it's popping right now in the middle of the show. All right, recruiting updates, gameplay with you. We just actually started the whole different YouTube channel with Ike Jones putting that on Twitter today. We both retweeted it. Go check it out. There's going to be a lot of exciting stuff going on there. Watch the film, Auburn Baseball. I am currently in the process with getting my first one together and getting it all worked out, ironed out. There is some swings that I want to look at from Jacksonville that I was very, very pleased with. I actually shouted a guy out today on Twitter, Christian Hall, who actually just hit a bomb, and today is his birthday. Mm. And he got back with me and told me how much he appreciated it. I'm super proud of him. But, man, if you're not a member, you're missing out. Go join today.
Yeah, and I actually, a couple of days ago, actually figured out a little thing that I can do there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, but you got clear stuff with YouTube. Will this work? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to be doing some watch the film basketball stuff as well. So stay on the lookout for that, man. We got Auburn's, we're cranking it up on the basketball recruiting front. So I'm going to go Got some videos coming out for that. And also, we got a shortstop committed locally about 15 minutes down the road from me. So I'm going to be going checking him out. Now, Blake tells me he might be too good. He might not ever even make it to Auburn. But I'm going to go check him out because, you know, Ike Iris was too good. And he should never came to Auburn. And Butch was still able to reel him in. So, you know, I'm going to go check him out here. Members, stay on the lookout for that. We all know we are dropping that content. Like Blake said also, man, if you are a gamer, okay, now it's going to be – it's not going to be centered around Auburn. We're trying to reach out a much broader audience. But if you are a gamer, War Report Gaming, type it in right there on your YouTube or go to our Twitters right there, the War Report Gaming. Go check it out. Dropped our first pod talking about the new NCAA game coming out. It's going to be news. We're going to be hosting tournaments. We're going to be live streaming. And look, it's something that me and Blake have been fired up for a while because we're ourselves. But there is a certain level of professionalism we have to do because people from the age of 15 to 85 might want to watch an Auburn football podcast. We don't have to worry about that. Streaming video games. You want to see me and Blake for real, tune in over there. And don't let you, if your kids are maybe under the age of 10, you just tune it out. You know what I mean? Come over there, man. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. It's going to be a blast. Got to get a lot of technology kind of ready to live stream a game, but we're in the process. We're in the lab is what I'm saying. Me and Blake are straight cooking, doing our traditional reporter thing, doing our new school video game thing. We just doing it, baby. We just doing it. But let's get over here, man. Big, big commitment from our guy, Devin Williams, a 4-star out of Buford, Georgia. Boy, oh boy. Commitments from Phoenix City. Commitments from Mobile, Alabama. Commitments from Buford, Georgia. What the hell is going on? Hugh Freeze, come on down. 4-star, 5'10", buck 60. The 9th commitment of the 25 class. He is, which we are currently 7th, according to Rivals. Rivals has him as the number 11 DB in the country, the number 12 player in the state of Georgia. 24/7 has him listed as the 113th overall prospect in the country. I did the video today for the members. Y'all are going to see it. I'm telling y'all. Devin Williams, J.C. Hart, and Bryce Kane, and Malcolm Simmons. Don't get mad at me, Malcolm. Line these boys up, and I want to see in the 40 who crosses the line first. This kid is fast and probably the highest IQ DB, Blake, that I have seen coming as a out of high school to Auburn since – maybe Roger, maybe Carlton. I'm telling you, man, the ball skills. There's one play. Our members will see it. He has got his back turned. He never turns around. And as the ball crosses, boop, knocks it down. Receiver's got him beat.
Just
high IQ. And he also talked about Wesley McGriff, Charles Kelly. He sat down with Charles Kelly, watched some film, and said, I want to be a part of this. I want this guy coaching me. And then he also said that the amount of defensive backs that Auburn has put into the NFL was a huge thing for him. He specifically named Carlton, Jamel, and Roger McCreary as a big part of. And he even said, Blake, he said there's kind of a narrative out there that you can't make it to the NFL from Auburn. He said that other teams kind of negatively recruited Auburn that way. And he said, well, I'm a DB, and there's a long list. It's becoming DBU. So yeah. I'm glad that he was able to kind of identify that. And that's the importance of cranking guys out into the pros.
That's 100% correct. Maybe on offense, you could negatively recruit that
definitely
way.
Good that, yeah.
I don't, that's shocking to me. But look, Dustin says it all the time. Auburn is DBU, man. And you're seeing it right here, right now. It's live in action. Charles Kelly, crime dog. They're not going after kids. Excuse me. They're not going after kids. 3 stars, trying to turn them into 5 stars. We ain't saying no names, but they're going after studs. And you're seeing it right here. You're getting 4- and 5-star kids in here. And it's going to start stacking, being repetitive over and over and over again. What do we always say? College football is won with Jimmies and Joes. Then it goes to X's and O's. So you got to stack the dudes. It just doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately. But Dustin, I know exactly what you're laughing at because I saw it in the comments. And but look, Devin Williams is going to be a star. This is a big time get. I love the talent that we're bringing into the secondary. I always tell y'all, I'm never worried about the secondary. I see it in the comments. People are like, hey, how do you feel about the secondary? It's Auburn. It's Auburn. We're always going to have a secondary that's got some dogs in it. That's just point blank, period. I'm not worried about it. We got Crime Dog back there.
Literally dogs. Like,
yeah. Yes, we got dogs. Charles Kelly, one of the best recruiters. You think I'm worried about the safety position? Absolutely not. Just, I'm not. And guys, like I said, I'm sorry about my throat. My voice is gone. Hey, let me tell y'all something real quick, story off of football. The reason my voice is gone, y'all want to know why? Auburn's down 3-2 in the seventh inning against Iowa, and Mason Maynard's hit one to the moon. All right. And I come up out of my seat, and it was one of those, as soon as he made contact, it was ting. And I said, oh, that's why I ain't got my voice. All right. Because then they started flying out the ballpark. It was Mason. It was Bobby. It was everybody. It was Christian Hall. Everybody. So that's why I ain't got my voice.
Hey, real fan, baby. Real fan. Karen says, you're on a roll tonight. Thank you. And Pop says, y'all don't want to see Dusty for real. You know, that's my Pop. But he puts in the Dusty. He says, y'all don't want to see Dusty for real. Take my word for it. I love you, Dad. What are you saying, Pop? What are you saying? Come on, Pops. I wasn't that bad, man. I wasn't that bad. Devin, I can't wait for this video game thing, man. It's going to be a blast. Devin says, War Eagle fellas, can't believe we are already talking about spring ball. Feels like we just finished lamenting about our bowl loss. Devin, that's what we do. That's what we do. We dust ourselves back off. Blake's probably got 4 or 5 texts somewhere in his thread saying, I'm never coming to another Auburn game again. And then 2 weeks later, I bought my tickets and went to another Auburn game. So, yeah, this is just what we do, Devin. We're addicted to pain.
I think I texted you right after the bowl game, and I was like, Dustin, it's time to give it up, brother. because we just can't buy one. We just can't buy one. Like, and I'll be honest with you, that Penn State game ruined me. It ruined me. It has taken a lot for me to go back. It ruined me. It really did. Like, that is why you always hear me talking about how much I hate that dude. All right, because it just – it's like I've never looked at my wife and said, hey, get up. All right, get up. We're leaving. I've never left early. And I said, hey, I'm not doing it today. All right, it's 105 degrees, and we got this drive back to Mobile. Get up and let's go.
Yeah, that was a bad day. At the time, it was my worst day there. But, boy, things kept going. Because I keep going. Miller says, it's a lot of buying from this team going into year two. A big difference compared. Yeah, Miller, to this point, man, and I don't want to make this, a bash the potato against the wall thing. But, listen, to Blake's point, we were at the Tiger Walk. Am I lying, Blake? It was literally a feeling of like, this has to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking like, yo, if we get smacked today, this thing's going down. Because you didn't have nothing else to hang your hat on. We all knew that recruiting was in the dumps. We all knew that, like, the week before, we looked like dog crap versus San Diego or San Jose State.
Yep.
We already knew what kind of where it was. It felt like already game 3, year 2. It felt like the program was hanging in the balance. And that's the importance of recruiting, too, was Hugh obviously had a – Hugh said his first year was bad. He said, I fell short. But when you bring in a top 7 recruiting class, it'll allow us to kind of look away and say, okay, we'll give you some more time. When you're down in the 50s and then you get thumped, yeah. So to your point, Blake, our Miller, it is a big difference, man. It just feels different. And me and Blake are going to continue to preach, you know, have reasonable expectations coming into this year. But even if this team goes 7-5 this year, if they go 7-5, things look cleaner than they did last year on the field. If it's just death issues and young guys taking their lumps and you sign another top 10 recruiting class, then yeah, it's a night and day difference than where this going. And even, I mean, by like year 3 or 4 of Gus, you were kind of like, is this going in the right direction? So, you know, but Hugh's got to put some dubs up, okay? It's got to look better on the field. And that was always my thing with last year. I was never pissed about the losses. I was pissed about the way they looked.
The way they looked. Yep.
Wait, we lost to Ole Miss by a touchdown, and we changed quarterbacks the whole game. 7 games into the season, we're still doing this? That's when I was getting just irate with it. And you remember at the Ole Miss game, people were like, there's this whole creed thing that goes on and all this where you can't boo. I heard boos. And I'm just telling y'all, I was there. The boos were directed at Hugh Freeze. They were not. I heard it. It was even more so specifically at the quarterbacks being rotated. Those were the boos. And the words that were being said following the boos were, I saw this last year. Hey, this doesn't work. We tried this last week. It didn't work.
Yep.
Right. And so that was just the frustration that night in the stadium. And we were all at Toomer's Corner after just pulling our hair out like, dog, when is this going to stop? So to that, like, Hugh can't have any more nights like that. He's going to lose next year. That's fine. But it can't feel like that. Or we're not going to go, well, you're off the top 7 recruiting class. If it continues to go like that, I'm not going to care, man. Because at some point, I got to see you start putting it together. And I'm not expecting 80. I'm not even expecting 8 wins next year. And I just want it to look clean, man. Look clean.
There are some media members who are saying 8 or it's a failure. So, not from Auburn. I'm just saying around the SEC. There's one guy, SEC Mike, I believe, said Auburn's going 9-3, Dustin.
Man, pass it, brother. Pass it. I would like to know what dispensary you got it from. Roll it up tight for me and pass it over here, because I would love to go on that a couple times and get on your level, dude. I would love to see that. I mean, like, how, in what world does that happen? Like, sure, man, I'm not.
If Peyton has a Joe Burrow year.
Yeah, for sure. If everything falls into place and Auburn wins a turnover margin by 18 next year and all this kind of stuff, sure, sure. We could stumble into 9-3, sure. C-Pop sent and says, hey, fam, War Dan Meagle. Brett, our guy Brett, popping up saying, Dustin, I'm still available for assistant work. Brother, can you make graphics? if you can make graphics, bro, and you can do them for the cheap, and you like doing graphic design, you got my DM, baby. Holler at your boy, because me and Blake, we like ball. Some of this other stuff in the podcast game, we did not know was a thing, bro. We did not know was a thing. All right, Blake, real quick, man, we've gone a little bit longer than I thought we were going to tonight, so we'll wrap this thing up here in about 5 or 10 minutes. But I do want to touch on these two guys right here. We talked about how Hugh Freeze kind of already having his offense somewhat established last year, kind of cleaning it up, getting it his whole system installed right now. But DJ Durkin and Charles Kelly, look, what Ron Roberts did was pretty unique, pretty specific to him, right? So this is going to be something different. I'm interested to see how this works. I mean, Charles Kelly's the co-DC. It's really DJ. You know, he's the DC and all that. But I'm interested to see kind of how it works. You know, DJ is kind of the front end, the defensive line guy, the specialist. And then Charles Kelly, obviously the secondary guy with Wesley McGriff back there. I like the staff. I think it's maybe an elite defensive staff, because I think that Josh Aldridge is that freaking dude. I don't know how much longer we're going to hold on to him, honestly. He's going to have a raise, a promotion coming his way very, very, very soon. But that is my question here, Blake, is the obvious stuff of how quickly does the defense get it and all that. And something to watch there is you got a lot of young guys. So interesting kind of thinking out loud here. Do they, because they're all kind of young, is it not hard for them? Right? Like, is it like the freshmen? It's first time for them anyway, so it ain't nothing. It's just be interesting to see, one, how all the coaches mesh, and then how quickly they kind of pick up the scheme, pick up the terminology, because this is not a situation like the offense. This is some new stuff coming in here. You got new positions. I mean, we know, like, with Kaufman and Keontae, what they were doing last year. I'm not saying that you won't see any of that stuff this year, but, like, a lot of that was Ron Roberts' stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a whole new deal coming in. So this is really where my eyes are trained. Young guys, not a whole lot of depth, a lot of new guys over there we believe in him. We think that Sylvester Smith is a dog, but I got to see it. So it's kind of, what are your thoughts about defense here, brother?
Young in the secondary. I think we have a lot of talent, but like you said, we're young. We're young. We're going to have to lean on guys like Eugene Asante, Jalen McLeod, Austin Keys. Hopefully he can stay healthy all year this year. And, you know, we got to figure out a pass rush. We got to find a way to generate a pass rush to help these young guys on that back end. That's what it comes down to me. You know, we got to put pressure on the quarterback, because that'll help those young guys back there. That's going to help them in coverage. All right, because there's going to be some busted plays where we give up some yardage and everybody's going to freak out. Like, I get it, you know. It's going to take a minute for everybody to get used to DJ Durkin, what he likes to call, what he likes to run, whatever. All right? We're young. We're going to take some lumps. We got to be patient. I know I hate saying that over and over again, but you got to be patient, because it is going to take time. All right? Now, thank goodness we get our front end at the crib at Jordan Hare.
Right.
I think that is huge. That is bigger than what a lot of people think. But there's going to be some communication problems. There's going to be some busted plays, and it's just going to take a minute. And like I said, thank goodness we got them first couple at the crib, because we're going to have the crowd on our side. We're not going to have to walk into a happy valley with 110,000 people and we're sitting here blowing coverages and, you know, we're losing our mind and everything. We're young. We might miss a tackle in the open field. That's another thing that we need to get better at that we couldn't do last year. DB specifically. We got to be better. And I know, like, guys like Champ Anthony, that's a guy that come up and he worked his way on the field. He's talented, but he's still young. He still had limited playing time. He's good.
Yeah, Colton Hood.
But Colton Hood, it might take a minute for them to be, you know, everyday guys, because last year they weren't. So, you know, there's going to be growing pains.
Yeah, JD,
but they got to grow up quick.
Yeah, for sure. And you make good points about us being at home, right? That's a very good point you're making. Like, so you get Cal coming in there week two. It's a manageable game. And then you got Alabama A&M right there at the top. So I do like the way the schedule sets up for that young secondary. So let's see. Our guy, Mr. ODR, says, how do you feel about the QB coach? Brother, I was calling for Ken Alston to be QB coach before the season last year. So I'm super excited about it. What I was going to say, Blake, I didn't mean to cut you off, was that I think that JD is going to be – it's his time. I know that he had some personal stuff happen last year. I don't take this as – I won't say that. I'll just say that a lot of stuff going on that coaching staff. And, I mean, you saw the guys, right? Like, you saw Keontae Scott enter the portal or whatever really happened there. You saw Kay and Lee. Like, a lot of those guys were defensive backs. We all kind of know the Wesley McGriff – Ron Roberts riff at this point. I'm not saying that JD's, all his situations were specific to that. I'm just saying that there was a lot of stuff going on in that locker room last year. If it was something that was over the top or egregious, Hugh with JD, Hugh never would have made the statement he said about, we want to get him back in the fold. He just got some things he got to do and all that kind of stuff. So they believe in JD. And so I just want JD to stay on the right track. I think he's one of the most talented players on this football team, man. And I think he's got all the opportunities to show it this year. I think he's a Sunday player, and I think he can be a Sunday player for a long time. The whole skill set's there for JD Rim. So this is your spring, baby. Come in, grab that thing by the horns, and take over. Before we get out of here, let's see. Mr. ODR with another question. Running back coach, how's he? That is Derek Nix coming over from Ole Miss. And, you know, me and Blake talked about this at the time. This is not a knock on our guy Cadillac. We love him. But I just think that it's the best thing overall for the program to kind of get Derek Nix here. It's continuity with Hugh, and he's a guy that's done it for a long time, man. He's been in the game for a minute. He knows what he's doing. He's got recruiting relationships and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited about that. I had a couple more star comments, guys. We're about to get out of here. hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Y'all know that we will be back with a fresh episode at the end of the week. Our guy Daniel says, if Hank Brown beats Peyton, does he transfer? And then Brett says, I don't know about Peyton, but if Hank finishes in front of Holden, he gone. Blake thinks that Holden will be out of here after spring. He's been pretty vocal about that. We'll see how it all goes, man. With Auburn in quarterback right now, I don't know. I've got no idea. Maybe Hank Brown is just the dog. Maybe he's just the guy. Maybe he's just the best one in there. And we're going to find out. We're going to find out sooner than later, bro. One thing Peyton can't do is come out there and get outperformed in A-Day, and then that be the last thing the fans see until the fall. Because, oh, my God, if he does that, Blake.
The thing that they put the clips together in today, it was Peyton, then Holden, then Hank, then Walker. I don't know if that was the true order, probably, but that they put the clips out there on social media, and that was the rotation. I don't know. Holden, we'll have to wait and see. I think you're in a lose-lose situation if it's Holden Gariner, because not his talent. I think he is in a lose-lose, because if he loses this year, you lost to Peyton Thorne, all right? And then next year, people are going to be calling for Walker White. So you're in a lose-lose. So you got to win it. And if you don't, I think he's out. So
yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Like I said, about to get out of here. Smash the thumbs up. Sub to the channel if you haven't. Get over there to that War Report Gaming if that's something that you're interested in. The problem solver says pass it in the huddle. We ain't Texas A&M, baby. We ain't Texas A&M. Listen, wait. Just wait. Wait till after the season and then do all that. You know, or wait, you know what, better yet, just wait till you get done playing at Auburn and then do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Zachary says, just got out of the gym catching my first live show, WDE. Let's go, baby. We appreciate you, Zach. We are here live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then Brett says, Dustin, I'm a child of the 80s, high school grad from 96. We barely had computers in school. I know very little about this tech world. I hear you, brother. I graduated in high school in 2010, so a little bit down the line from you, and I still don't know nothing, big dog, because I never spent any time on the computers. There was ball to be played and ball to be watched, and that's where I was. Blake, you got any closing thoughts before we get out of here, brother?
Go turn on ESPN Plus or SEC Plus or whatever paywall they put you on for college baseball. Auburn is kicking tail right now, up 10-3, bottom six over the Samford Bulldogs. The 23rd ranked Auburn baseball Tigers, 6-1 on the year, trying to be 7-1. Got a big series against UConn this weekend. Go check this baseball team out, folks.
Yes, sir. Cadillac is expected to be the running backs head coach of the Raiders. I hear y'all talking about Mike G was the first to report that. So shout out to him. We shout out Mike G a lot tonight. Pops, I see you in the comments. I want to tell you, Dad, you're the best dad ever. I freaking love you, Pops. And I love each and every one of you guys. War Damn Eagle. We will see you guys later in the week. We're out, y'all.
War Damn, baby.